This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Everybody to Wrestling Omakase, episode 13, and we have another repeat guest, Mr. Andrew Rich. You're the Barbarian, right? That's your nickname?
That is indeed my nickname, yes.
Barbarian, so, Andrew Rich, from Music of the Mat. He was on last time to talk about the G1 when we completely insanely reviewed every single match for 10 shows. I remember one of the Burning Spirits guys, one of the ones that wasn't on the show, was like, I can't believe you guys did every match from 10 shows. And I was like, yep, that's what we did. But
we're gluttons for punishment.
But don't worry, we're not gonna be anything like that this time. But we are here to talk about New Japan again. Andrew, Yes. You're getting typecast here.
I'm sensing a pattern here. I have become sort of not the de facto, but sort of like, you know, hey, anyone want to talk New Japan? I'll raise my hand. So it's kind of my fault. I'm sort of like jumping into it my own accord. So how about this? How about right now we make a pact on the air. The next time I'm on, we do something completely different than New Japan. Yeah, how about that?
You definitely do need to do that next time you're on. There's also supposed to be a third guest, but we'll see if he makes his appearance. He's having technical difficulties getting on here, and we can't wait for him any longer. So if he makes a run in, it'll be like Suzuki Goon.
Yeah,
doing a run in the middle of the show here. I'll introduce him then. But if he never appears, never appears. And if you're waiting for Rich Craich, by the way, I know I said last week that was going to be Rich this week. No, that didn't happen again. I don't. Rich is a busy man, I guess. But we'll try again next week. But we'll see. I don't know at this point. I want to tell everybody, because it makes a lot more sense to do this at the start than the end. So we have our own iTunes feed now, Wrestling Omakase iTunes feed. Definitely, if you don't mind, I know most people get it off the Voices of Wrestling podcast feed, which is totally fine. But if you could just search for us on iTunes and give us a rating, especially if it's a high rating, and even a review, that'd be very helpful to us. It'll help us get found by more people. You know, not that I'm not happy with my audience. My audience is like sometimes shockingly big, like for me rambling with random people. And I appreciate all of you. But if a few of you could go do that, that'd be really cool. I really appreciate it. Thank you as always for listening too. We're 13 episodes into this already. It's kind of, you know, it's a weird number, 13. It's not really worth celebrating, but it's cool. When I first started this, I had no idea if there'd be any interest from guests, any interest from you know, listeners, and so far it's been there. So I really appreciate it. Thank you for sticking with us so far. If you don't mind, review, like, all that good stuff. All right. So today's topic, we don't have to go into Andrew's background again because Andrew have already done that the last time. Yep. So if you want to know more about Andrew's background, G1 episode, everybody. Go listen to this.
It's all 3 hours.
We're going to go shorter today, thankfully.
Yes.
But we're here today to do two things. First of all, we're here to talk about the three destruction shows. All three of them. We're going to not go through every single match because a lot of these undercard matches don't really matter at all. But we are going to just give our thoughts on the bigger matches, our thoughts on the shows overall. I will say I was pretty down on these shows. I think Hiroshima was clearly the best of the three. Would you agree, Andrew, or do you disagree?
I'd agree. Yeah, definitely the strongest output of the three destruction shows. Definitely.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be too hard on it because it's a down tour every year. You know, it's like you kind of learn to expect this. They still need a tour, but the wrestlers need a break. You know, they just went through the G1. I get it, but like, you know, that doesn't mean I can't say these shows sucked when they pretty much sucked. especially Fukushima, that piece of crap. But yeah, but that's the main thing we're going to do. And then after that, we're also going to preview the King of Pro Wrestling card, a card that looks thankfully much better. And that's 2 weeks from today that'll be taking place. So very cool. Very excited about King of Pro. Oh, wait, is it 2 weeks from today? Am I totally off? No, it's 1 week from today. What am I talking about? Or yeah, no, it's 1 week. It's the 9th. It's a Monday. Okay. Today is the 27th. So it's about a week and a half away. There you go. King of Pro Wrestling, that card actually looks pretty cool, and we'll talk about that. But first, we have to talk about the aforementioned piece of crap, destruction in Fukushima. September 10th in the Azuma Gymnasium in Fukushima. The opener we don't really need to talk about. We can start with Yujiro and Chase Owens against Beretta and Jado, just because this was a theme throughout the cards. This was one of the few bright spots, the Beretta and Chase Owens feud. What'd you think of this feud, Andrew?
I thought it was a really nice change of pace for New Japan. You know, a lot of people comment a lot, especially guys like Joe Lanza and Rich and stuff like that. They comment about how New Japan does singles feuds mainly for titles, or at the very least, number one contenderships for titles. Mid-card singles feuds, they don't really exist that much. It's typically stables will usually feud with other stables, and singles feuds just mainly kept towards the top. But Beretta and Yujiro, this was like a breath of fresh air for me because, you know, the story of Beretta not going for a title, not, you know, trying to, not some head cutting duel, like anything like that. It's just a really simple feud. It's Beretta trying to prove himself to be a heavyweight. Because on the G1 special shows, you know, Roppongi Vice announced, listen, we're splitting up. Beretta's main goal in Japan is to be a heavyweight. So we're just going to split up now amicably and go our separate ways. And Beretta is going to be a heavyweight now. But instead of just, you know, leaping headfirst into it, there's this sort of gatekeeper in the way, in the form of Yujiro, of all people. You wouldn't think of Yujiro Takahashi is like, hey, man, you want to be in the big leagues, you got to go through me.
Well, I like it, though, because he's the bottom. Yeah,
exactly, because it's like, Yujiro? Really? Him? But it's like, it makes sense because, you know, Beretta isn't going to be given this automatic spot. Like, he has to really prove himself here. So
Who is the bottom of the heavyweight division, right? I mean, like, with especially Bone Soldier's gone.
Bone Soldier's gone.
Yoshitatsu's gone.
Most of the Young Lions don't really count because they're, like, juniors and they're Young Lions anyway.
Yeah.
But as far as like regular like main heavyweights, it's Chase Owens. Yeah. I mean Chase Owens is more of like an upbringing guy. Yujiro is like a mainstay. He's like New Japan, you know, prime really. Yeah. So it's really like Yujiro, David Finlay, I guess you could say.
Finlay's a junior.
Oh, that's right. I made a mistake. Yes. Yeah. Yujiro, I guess he's the guy. Now that Bone Soldier is gone, so
where Bone Soldier went, we'll never know. I guess
He is wandering the plains in search of truth and justice.
Didn't Kenny Omega mention him like during a promo like a few months ago? I feel like, and I was like, okay, I'm glad Omega remembers. I get it, and like I think it was Lanza was the first one who said this, that Yujiro is so like trashed that he's actually become like underrated. I mean, he's not good. I don't want anybody to even think I'd say he's good, but he's not like to hear some people talk, you think he's the worst wrestler that ever fucking lived. And it's like, he's not that bad. I mean, he's, I don't even know. He's like below average in the ring, I would call him.
Yeah.
And I'd still rather watch him than Jinder Mahal. So, I mean, you know, it's not like he's in a big position or anything.
No.
But yeah, it was cool just to see him get something to do. After all, like, when's the last time Yujiro actually had something to do? You're talking like his never title reign, and like the mini feud with Naito over the contract. You're talking like 3 years ago.
So, last time he had anything to do, really, I mean, anything of significance at all, was the remember early last year when Bullet Club won the Trios titles
for like
3 days.
Oh yeah, you're right. He was champion.
He was champion for 3 days with Fale and Tonga.
What a champ!
And then he lost back to Briscoes and Yano like 3 days later on the same tour. Like, it was like New Beginning Show A, they win the belts. New Beginning Show B, they lose the belts. So yeah. it was, you know, that's the last time really of anything important that happened with Yujiro. I mean, he was in the New Japan Cup this year, but again, he lost to Juice. And that was like the last like high profile, quote unquote, high profile singles match he had. And that wasn't a feud or anything like that. So for him to be in a feud of some sort, I mean, it's not a long feud. It was only like a tour long feud, but for him to like do something, it's kind of big for Yujiro.
This says as much about the tour as anything else, but this was legitimately one of the highlights of the fucking tour.
Yeah.
So at least it was something, okay? Like, they gave us something here. So good on them, I guess. So let's see. The tag match itself, it was just whatever.
Yeah.
Yujiro got to pin Jado. What to do? But we had Leo Tonga's first appearance. Very tall guy.
Very big boy. Yeah.
Very big boy. Nothing else to say about that, really. Okay, the first of three IWGP Tag Team Championship matches.
Yes.
All right. So I'm gonna give it, I don't even know why I'm giving like let me just talk about this, okay? I buried the shit out of this. And I was on all three previews. I think I've been on every single New Japan preview for like a year and a half now or something. it's just my thing now. But like, I was on all three previews and I had to preview this match three times. I just refused to. Because it's fucking horseshit. Fucking Gato booked this again for King of Pro Wrestling. Four straight fucking shows with the same tag team title match. Okay? This is fucking stupid. It's fucking lazy. It makes no fucking sense why you would book the same three teams over and over again, the same fucking match. And these belts that used to mean something. If this was the fucking never open weight title or the never six-man titles, that would be one thing. This is the IWGP Tag Team Championship, the belt held by Masahiro Chono and Hiroshi Tenzan. Okay, motherfucker? That's what this belt is. I'm talking motherfucker Gato, not you. Motherfucking Gato. Like, Jesus. Choten held these belts, okay? And now you're, like, you've already buried the fucking belts. You've killed the belts. You've buried them. And this fucking tour and doing this match four straight times was pissing on the grave. I fucking hated this. That's my thoughts on this. I don't have any thoughts on this match. Fuck this.
It's lazy. It's certainly lazy. I mean, you have a certain set of teams. You're kind of limited with the teams you have, really. I know you've got, what, KES, GOD, War Machine. Tenkoji is not working this tour. I mean,
I don't get, though. Why you have all these units. Why can't these units put two guys together?
Exactly, yeah. It's the laziness of it. You have these set teams. Okay, that's fine. Go beyond that. Get like, I don't know, like, give like, I don't know, Chase and Yujiro a shot. Just on a random show. Give them a shot. Give like Tanahashi and Juice a shot. You know, give them a title shot. Like, you can use the stables. These big stables, by the way. These are huge stables right now. You can pick and choose who you want to put in there. You don't have to limit the tag matches to, well, KES is the team of Suzuki-gun, so they are going to be in it. Or, who else might? The God is, you know, the team of Bullet Club. Like, there's plenty of heavyweights on Bullet Club they can go with here. You don't have to be limited to them. And same with Taguchi Japan. Same with, you know, Suzuki-gun, I guess. You can go in that in a way. So you can branch out and you can go beyond the set teams. Unfortunately, this is not what we get here. This is what Gato is giving us. And we just have to just like roll our eyes, unfortunately, which we don't want to do, by the way. We shouldn't be rolling our eyes at New Japan here, okay? Because this is supposed to be like the premier stuff, right? Better than WWE. And right now, WWE is kicking their ass in tag team matches, in my opinion. They're doing great stuff there. And here, it's the same old stuff. It's the same match over and over and over again. So it's lazy. It's annoying. It's all hell. And it's mind-boggling. I mean, I know Gato prefers the single stuff over the tag team stuff, as we've seen.
Hilarious because he's a fucking tag team
wrestler. I know. It's weird. He's a junior tag wrestler, and for like the past like 4 years, he booked the same like trios and four-way tag matches over and over again. But
maybe this is his revenge. It's like, I'm going to book a junior tag division that's actually kind of decent and a heavyweight tag division that fucking sucks.
I'm going to have like the most stacked roster in a while, but I'm not going to have any variety with them. So
you know what the weirdest thing is? Like what we just talked about using random teams, he's willing to do that in the fucking never six-man titles.
Yes.
So we see a fucking random team later on this fucking show challenge for those titles. Okada can challenge for those apparently. Yeah. But God forbid we put Okada with Ishii and have like a barn burner. They could have Okada and Ishii having like a barn burner of a tag title challenge on a Kuroken instead of just whatever for Kuroken. Mm. It doesn't make any sense the way they booked this.
Yeah.
I really fucking hate it. It's okay to have regular teams, but you mix your regular teams in with other people. And I don't just meet Ishii and Yano for like 2 months. Because it's the last time I can remember them doing anything like this. It's like, the one time they did like Tanahashi and Makabe a few years ago, that was actually really good. It's like, oh, that worked. Let's never do that again. They turned into TNA. Anyway, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Fuck this tag division.
All right, it's your show.
No, but do you want anything else to say about this fucking tag division?
Not really. I mean, the matches were fine. It's just
I wouldn't even go that far.
It was the same thing. They weren't stinkers. It was just the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I called up our reviewers again. He gave it 3 stars. I might even call that high, like 2.5 or something, or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the next match, Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi against Tomohiro Ishii and Will Ospreay. I told people going in, you know, you see those four guys on a car and you're like, it's going to be like the match of the year. And it's
best
like,
well, world, baby. Yeah.
You never see a New Japan show because they're going to have it in second gear. And that's what they did. I mean, look, second gear of these guys is still like 3.5 stars. So that's, you know, it's not like it wasn't a good match, but like I saw people on Twitter getting like really excited. I'm like, tranquilo.
Yeah. Hold your horses. All right.
Yeah. Sendai. Okay. Like,
come on. It's a tag match on a B-level show. It's like, it's going to have a ceiling. All right. I mean, let's be realistic here.
I did like the fact that this finish was just Naito kicking Ospreay in the balls during a flip.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to flip, motherfucker? Flip on this.
Flip on. Exactly. You want to jump? I'll show you jump. I'll make you jump, buddy.
I don't know if you have any other thoughts on this, but I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
The never open weight 6-man titles, we just hinted at this. It was Lo Singo Bernales, De Japón, Bushi, Evil, and Sonata defeating Okada, Rocky Romero, and Toriano of Chaos. First of all, I love that team. It's so random, but then you see them together and it's like, this makes this weird kind of sense.
Yeah.
It's like Rocky is really wacky, Toriano is really wacky. And Kazuchika Okada can be wacky when he wants
to
be.
Yeah, exactly. He can be funny when he wants to. Like he can go with the flow when he wants to. But he can also when he needs to, he can also turn up the heat.
Yeah.
And be serious when he needs to be. So he's really great, by the way, at being like that duality between really funny and really serious. It's
I thought this was really, I mean, our reviewer gave it 3.5. I would even go like 3.75. I thought this was really fun.
Yeah.
And you know, pretty much, I don't think LIJ has had a bad match in this entire reign. So picking them as the trio to like kind of stabilize these belts after they played hot potato with it for a while was obviously the right move. I mean, they've been great champions. Look, I care more about these fucking belts than I care about the IWGP titles. Because at least these belts are on a consistent trio. And like, at least it's usually a good match when they're defending, which is one I can save the fucking IWGP tag titles. But yeah, I mean, this was really fun. Evil got to counter the Rainmaker and hit the Evil on Okada, which, you know, again, always a great moment. The crowd went definitely pretty nuts great. For it. And then Bushi pinned Rocky Romero for the MX. You know, you got the Evil standing tall over Okada thing to continue building King of Pro Wrestling. So, you know, I'm way into the Evil push. That's probably
loving it.
One of the very few fresh things New Japan's doing right now. So I'm very, very into that. But yeah, we'll talk about that more when we get to King of Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, King of Pro Wrestling. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Main event, the never openly right. title.
Here we go.
The Why Does This Belt Exist title. Minoru Suzuki defeating Michael Elgin. All right. So, first of all, why the fuck did this need to be a lumberjack match? When has adding that lumberjack stipulation, I think it may have worked. They might have had one with Prince Devitt. I think Prince Devitt, Devitt Tanahashi. That was the only time I can ever remember this actually working.
And it was fresh, too, because New Japan doesn't really do, like, these type of stipulation matches often. So then busting out. And it was also the early stages of the Bullet Club as well. So early Bullet Club, the whole interference thing, that was kind of fresh as well. So this was, like, a cool way to, like, these guys have been running roughshod for us with the interference spots. Let Tanahashi, let me bring in, you know, my own guys to back me up and have it be like, you know, even the sides here. So it was kind of cool to see that dynamic there earlier on in the feud. Here, it's Suzuki-gun. And we know Suzuki-gun. We know Suzuki-gun loves to interfere no matter what type of match it is. Singles, tags, trios, 10-on-10, whatever the fuck. They love to interfere on behalf of each other.
Yeah.
So making it a lumberjack death match doesn't really make sense because you kind of know it's going to come regardless. I mean,
does anybody need Suzuki going to be out there for Suzuki? Like you're saying, everybody knows Suzuki going to interfere. So who cares if they're out there or not already? They're going to come at some point. So and then they didn't even follow like the trope of a lumberjack match. Like Elgin and Suzuki would get thrown to the floor, and instead of anybody trying to throw them back in, Suzuki Gun and Toguchi Japan would just brawl at each other. And then Elgin and Suzuki would brawl into the crowd, and it's like, where the fuck are the lumberjacks? Is it the entire point of this match you're trying to throw them back in? Like, they're too busy fighting each other? Like, no one could be like, oh, the guys that were supposed to throw back in the ring are over, okay. Like, no one could notice that.
It's a blood feud, man. Things get heated. Things get heated.
Oh, yeah, Suzuki Gun and Toguchi Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this fucking sucked. I mean, like, just really, really sucks. I don't know. First of all, the fucking finish being Iizuka hitting him with
That was my favorite part. Seeing Iizuka, like you see, like, the guy's coming out. It's Desperado, Taichi, Taka, Kanemaru. Where's Iizuka? Like, where is he? And like the last time, Suzuki versus Goto in the Lumberjack Death Match, it was like, okay, there's Desperado, there's Taga, there's Zach, there's Kanemaru. Where's Taichi? Is it limited to 4-on-4? Then at the end, Goto hits GTR. 1-2, Taichi, that sneaky motherfucker, comes out of nowhere and takes the ref out. So it's like, God, son of a bitch. Here, it's the exact same thing. It's like, where's Iizuka? And it's like, all of a sudden, out comes like Frankenstein's monster stumbling out from the back with the iron glove on.
You're making this sound way too good.
Fire bad. Out comes Iizuka just slowly, lumbering to the ring. Hits Elgin with the fingers. Suzuki, quick like a bunny, gotch pile driver, 1, 2, 3.
By the way, way to make Michael Elgin look like a fucking idiot. That he he didn't have enough time to fucking notice Suzuki was stumbling out and going too much. Kevin Nash has made quicker run-ins than this.
Yeah.
Like, Suzuki took fucking forever to stumble down to the ring. Like, buddy. Look behind you.
Check your surroundings, goddammit, Elgin. Check your surroundings.
Usually New Japan is better at making the baby faces not look this fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. That was one of, like, a WWE fucking finish where the baby face looks like a fucking idiot. So yeah, this sucked. Again, our reviewer gave it 2 stars. It's a star too high. This was awful. The lumberjack stipulation didn't have anything, like didn't play into anything. You know, they didn't follow the stipulation. The guy who wanted out at the end again wasn't even a lumberjack. So like you said, I didn't even think of that until you said it. That it yeah. just repeated the finish of the Goto.
It was the
match.
Same finish as the Goto match, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like this is what I mean. I don't know if you're in the Slack the other day, but Jojo Remy, who's the host of Japan Audio Wrestling,
yep.
he was talking about how he thinks New Japan's booking lately has been super lazy. And I can totally see that here because you're repeating the same fucking finish
yeah.
you just did with the stupid belt. So, you know, I think New Japan, the main event stuff is good. You know, Okada Evil's good. It's good that we're going to get Okada Naito at the Dome probably. But, like, you know, even like Tanahashi Bush, that stuff. So the main stuff is good. And that's always the most important. But this undercard stuff is just so fucking boring right now.
It's a drag, yeah.
There's nothing interesting going on. But yeah, so this was really bad and a terrible way to end the show. Destruction Fukushima, that has to be the worst New Japan show in
it's gotta years. It's got to be up there in terms
like,
of
I can't think of a worst one.
And the crowd didn't help either. I thought the crowd was not that hot, which
yeah,
that to me that kind of affects the show.
But like I was trying to think like last year's destruction shows were not as bad as this one. They were not great either, but they were not as bad as this.
They were fine. They were yeah. good because I think they had much more interesting stuff on it. But yeah, in comparison, this year was definitely a slog to get through.
Yeah. So that's Fukushima.
The first show.
That's Fukushima. It fucking sucked. Moving on, Destruction yeah. Hiroshima, September 16th, in Hiroshima Sun Plaza Hall. The opener, second match, not much to talk about here. Roppongi Vice, their last match as a team, mm-hmm. defeating Chase Owens and Yujiro Takahashi. I was a little surprised they got the win. I kind of thought they were going to put more heat on the Yujiro program, have Yujiro pin Rocky and be like, I beat you in your last match together. But now they just had them pin Chase Owens with a strong zero. It's like if a junior tag team can beat two heavyweights, why are they breaking up? Like,
I see even the logic there, yeah, it's kind of weird, but
even two heavyweights of this caliber, like, why are you breaking up? Why are you?
I guess it's just like a nice send off, I guess, for Roppongi Vice. Yeah. Give him a win in Japan, I guess.
I'm probably overthinking it, but it's just that kind of annoyed me.
Yeah, and maybe also as well, like Yujiro is like, hey, it took two of you to beat a heavyweight Beretta. You didn't pin me on your own. Like you can't beat me. Face me in 1-on-1. Then we'll see who's the better man.
Yeah.
So maybe that was the kind of thing because he did cut that promo afterwards.
Yeah.
But
that awesome promo.
Oh yeah.
I love Yujiro's English. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was like something about how go back to junior or something. Like just
yeah.
kept repeating that.
Typical heel shit. Yeah.
Exactly. Like you and me singles match. But my favorite thing is when he like tells apparently Kevin Kelly claims he tells him he won't speak Japanese to him. He speak English. Which is funny. Then we had a Bushi making his weird little appearance here, teaming with Michael Elgin and Togi Makabe to defeat Suzuki-gun. Just notable because it gave a Bushi a reason to be in the building mm-hmm. to come out after the main event, so that yeah. made sense. Not much to say about the actual match, though. It just was there.
No.
I don't know why Kevin Kelly apparently said on commentary that Ibushi's back full time at New Japan. It's like, are you reading the same tour schedules, man?
Yeah.
Like he's still doing the same exact shit he did as Tiger Mask, except without the mask.
Without the mask, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's there for the bigger shows. Like, yeah.
He's an attraction.
He's an attraction. It's not full time. All right, but then we had this my pick for first of all for shocking match of the entire tour, and this was my favorite match of the entire tour. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Titles.
It's up there, yeah.
Funky Future, Ricochet, and Ryusuke Taguchi defeating Suzuki-gun, Taichi, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Interestingly enough, I thought this was better than any match that Taichi and Kanemaru had during their like brief tag title reign. But this was really like shockingly good. There was a lot more drama than I expected, especially in the last like 10 minutes or so. Like I remember that when Taichi like poured the whiskey down Taguchi's throat. Like I really thought that was gonna lead to the finish, and like it was a great like unique spot. We had like a lot of ankle lock teases. So Ricochet hitting the 450 on Cannonball. Oh, that was nasty. He's in the ankle lock, leading to the finish. That was an awesome finish.
Great
finish.
Very creative,
Really, really cool finish. And, like, it's just very dramatic. Like, I was watching this unspoiled, and, like, I really had no idea he was going to win in the last, like, 5 minutes. Like, it really felt like Taichi and Kanemaru had a chance to win this. So any match like that where they can, you know, not make it at all obvious is always good.
See, I thought the finish was going to be Taichi pours, like, the whiskey or whatever it was. Is it whiskey? Is that what it is?
It's Suntory whiskey.
It's whiskey. Pours it down Taguchi's throat. But then, like, when he goes to, like, hit him, Taguchi spits in his face. Like, rolls him up or something like that. I thought that was going to happen.
That would have been a cool spot, too.
Yeah, but the finish was cool otherwise. It was, like, a clean finish for the ankle. Yeah. With the oh my and Garankle, he calls it, which I think is really funny. Yeah, this was a great match.
I'd go four.
Taichi and Kanemaru, early in the year, I was not really happy with them teaming up, especially since, you know, Desperado got injured. They was putting in Taichi in place of him. Wasn't really a fan of that. This match, though, really turned me around on this. I mean, all four of these guys worked really hard. Especially, you know, Taichi, he gets lazy. And it's been Kanemaru, he can get lazy, to say the least. But all four had their working boots on and just
during drama. For some reason. Maybe they're like, there's our chance to stand
down. It's our chance to shine. Let's put the working boots on and let's go out there because other people might not. But this was a great match, a lot of drama, a lot of intrigue. And let me tell you something else. Taguchi this year has been absolutely stellar, I think. He's put on some great performances. I have never been more interested in him than this year because he's had shit to do. He's had title raids. He's had Taguchi Japan coming in. Like, Taguchi, when he's doing nothing, and he's just, like, goofing off, it's fine, but whatever. When he's actually, like, being used prominently, like, it's really good. And he really steps up, and it makes me like him more, and it makes me, like, think he's funnier, actually. Like, him on the turnbuckle, like, looking to the crowd, and then, like, jumping off, and there's Taichi Kanemaru. It's like, okay, hello to you, sir. Hello to you, sir. Excuse me.
That's the greatest spot. I love that spot.
I mean, just attack him anyway.
Like, that's one of those funny. He never gets old for me. Yeah. Like, he could every single fucking match and still just a look on his face.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go through now. Okay. Just let me get through it. Like,
Excuse me. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm more interested in Taguchi. He's funnier to me than ever before. Like, he's been great. And Ricochet, it's fucking Ricochet.
Yeah,
he's a one man Jackie Chan film, for God's sake. He's moving around like fucking crazy. I mean, are we ever gonna, like, not be amazed by him? Like, it's insane.
So, yeah, and then, like I said, Kanemaru and Taichi more than held up their end of the bargain, which is what I think everybody would always be worried about going into this.
That's what you want. Yeah.
I mean, did you watch the All Japan Sumo Hall show?
I did not, no.
So Taichi, like, he had a really good performance against Yuma Aoki on that show, too. And it's, like, two really good performances in a row from Taichi. It's, like, a world fucking record. So, Taichi and Jinder, you know, people like Joe Lanza was doing that thing, you know, who's better and who's worse than Jinder. A lot of people mean that Taichi is worse than Jinder. And no, Jinder Mahal in his fucking dreams could have a match as good as either one of those two Taichi matches. I mean, like, seriously. Yeah. But yeah, that's something. So yeah, so Taichi, like, you know, had a very cool performance here. I hope we get more of that Taichi in the future. Less of Taichi, just like the most memorable spot in the match is him ripping his pants off. But
I'm not complaining about that. It's always a treat. A little bit
up
more.
Next, the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Titles. Who fucking cares? That's what I say.
War Machine win again. Moving on.
Then we had the LIJ 8-man tag, Naito, Hiromu.
10.
Oh, 10-man tag. Naito, Hiromu, Bushi, Evil, and Sonata, beating Okada, Ishii, Toriano, Will Ospreay, and Gato. This was another 10-man tag. Like, I've yet to see a LIJ 10-man tag and not enjoy it.
Yeah.
It really has not happened yet. So, Yeah, I thought it was good, and I don't. There's really not a ton to say about it, but I enjoyed it. The Sonata Yano like little mini feud.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
where Sonata just keeps tying him up in the fucking paradise lock. It's a really cool feud. But yeah, do you have anything to say about this match?
Not really. It was another good match. But yeah, it's more build up. Really, it's all these multi-man tags do. It's more build up for the main shows. So more build up for Evil Okada. More build up for Naito Ishii. More build up in a way for Ospreay Hiromu. Yeah, fine match.
The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Title, Kushida beating El Desperado. This one I found really disappointing. I'm a huge Desperado fan. I really think he's great. I thought he had a really good Best of Super Junior. He has that like legitimate craziness to him, you know, where like you kind of don't know. You believe that he might be a little bit out there for real.
Yeah.
But, like, he brings that sense of danger. It's cool. But like, I don't know. It just never clicked here. Like there's like too much crowd brawling or something. And just like,
It was kind of start and stop to me.
Yeah.
They would get the ball rolling. Then they would kind of have a lull. They get the ball rolling back again. Another lull. And like you said, super hyped for this match. Love Desperado, love Kushida, huge Kushida fan. And these two together would have been magic, I thought at least. Because it's like, it's not Kushida Bushi again. It's not, you know, Kushida Hiromu, which I enjoy, but it's like a little variety, you know, in the mix here. It's great. So Kushida Desperado, let's bring it on. But yeah, it wasn't up to the hype that I thought it was going to be. There was one point where that really stood out to me as like one of the points of like the lull, where it was like Desperado takes off the mask and covers his face with his hand and he throws it to Kushida and he points to the ref. He took the mask off. And the ref is like, okay, like Kushida, don't do that.
It's not a DQ.
This is not Mexico. This is not Chikara. That is not a DQ in New Japan.
There was a funny spot. I'll give him that.
It didn't really add to the action here. It didn't really serve a purpose. Like, okay, maybe.
I mean, like.
It was a distraction spot for Desperado, maybe, but it was like, it stopped the crowd.
The referee's reaction, the way you described it, is funny. The referee's like, okay. He took your mask. That's very naughty of him, but
he finger wagged. Don't do that again, please.
You're not gonna award you the junior title, buddy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Just it never clicked on that level to me. And then obviously, you know, it had to I don't know. It was it had to get through the Suzuki-kun shenanigans. The Suzuki-kun shenanigans always hurt every match they're involved in.
Yeah.
But, you know, and some of them they hurt more than others, and I think they hurt this one quite a bit.
Sick tope, though. Desperado always hits like a really cool tope. Man, he is so good at like launching over the barricade and laying on his feet. He's talented, man. But
After the match, we had Hiromu getting knocked out by Will Ospreay, which I thought people were pretty upset about, but you know, they've already fucked Hiromu up anyway. What?
I kind of have a feeling they're still building that up.
Here's my problem.
I feel like they're going to pay it off later.
You had a guy, okay, who was on the cusp of superstardom. Not just stardom.
I agree. Yes.
Superstardom. He, like, you found something and it clicked beyond your wildest dreams. Hiromu was so over going in that Best of Super Junior, people were legitimately asking, can he go undefeated in this tournament?
Yeah.
Can
he pull a Devitt? This is Devitt in 2013. This guy is on a rocket ship right now. Can he keep it going?
Like, he's on a rocket ship, and if anything, he's just as over his push, if not more over. And then they just like, oh, let's have Kushida beat him again. All right, Kushida's champion again. Now whoever was dropping random falls and getting knocked out by Will Ospreay by one punch. So yeah, I just like, talk about fucking yourself over. Like, why would you? You got a chance to make a guy into a legitimate star, and like, you just totally fucked it up. It's really frustrating. It's like, it's okay to just have one guy dominate the junior division all year. It's happened before. Jushin Liger's down in the division multiple years sometimes. Like
Devitt.
Yeah. I mean,
like, Devitt held the belt twice on two occasions for like a year plus.
It's okay.
I mean,
just do it.
Do that.
But yeah,
they're over and they're good. Fine.
I mean, just that—that you know, that to me is as big an example again of the lazy booking as anything else. It's harder to book a guy in like one really dominant run like that than just to, you know, have him drop it back to Kushida and then, oh, we could do Kushida Bushi again and Kushida Desperado. You could have done Hiromu Desperado. You could have even done Hiromu Bushi. But I don't know. It was just it really pisses me off. So, to me, if I see a ton of Gato's gonna win Best Book of the Year again, I'm sure, because that's how the observer crowd tends to vote, and like I really don't think he deserves it this year. The main event, the IWGP Intercontinental Title, Hiroshi Tanahashi defeating Zack Sabre Jr. This was okay. I would go like 3.25. I really didn't like it that much, especially given the level of the talent in the match. Mm-hmm. I don't know, that nowhere near as good as the G1 match to me. You know, there's more Suzuki Gun interference. It never helps.
It's longer too. This is a 30-minute match too, so it's kind of stretch it out more. But yeah, it was. I know Joe and Rich said it was disappointing, like the most disappointing like Tanahashi match in a long, long time. I think they said the worst Tanahashi main event match in a while, or maybe ever. Which I don't know. I have to watch more matches from the earlier years, but it was kind of like Kushida Desperado, where I had a lot of hype to it, but then it didn't really click on all the levels. Yeah. So while I thought it was good, but it wasn't great or excellent, which it could have been.
This is a problem I have with Zack Sabre, where sometimes he was just laying it. To me, he has a tendency to lay an egg more than a lot of wrestlers of his caliber. But
it's the style.
Yeah.
It's probably the style. It's very submission, ground heavy, which it, by itself is kind of not the most exciting thing in the world.
I mean, when he's great.
It's great. When he's like really, when he's really emotional, really wrenching the stuff, it's great. But when it's just back and forth, you know, arm holes and stuff like that, it's kind of takes out the energy. You really need like a vicious, like Zack Sabre Jr., really like high energy Zack Sabre Jr. Here, it was like, yeah, okay, fine, but you know,
high energy.
I didn't even do that, but yeah, it was fine. And again, the Suzuki Gun interference really took it down a few notches again, because it's like it's not necessary.
It's ruining. It's seriously one of my least favorite things about this promotion right now is Suzuki Gun, and you know, I hate to say I told you so. And I'm not the only one. A lot of people said it. But, like, when Suzuki-gun was coming back at the start of the year, people were like, oh, yeah, Suzuki-gun, they're back. I'm like, you people didn't watch Noah. You really did not watch a second of Noah for 2 fucking years, or else your reaction would have been – that was, like, the litmus test. Did these people watch a second of Noah in the last 2 years? If they did, they're like, oh, God, this fucking sucks.
Story, yeah.
If they didn't, it was like, oh, Suzuki Gun. Yeah, my name is Suzuki. He's cool. It's like, okay, you're gonna be sick of this shit. It's like the worst of the Bullet Club when the Bullet Club was doing like the like heavy interference without like the charm of Prince Devitt or the
charisma of Kenny.
Yeah, or the uniqueness of it when it first started.
Yeah,
because the Bullet Club, as it went along, has toned it down. They fucking have to, considering, you know, LIJ went the same direction where they've toned down the interference. Like, the LIJ was doing a lot of interference initially. Mm-hmm. And it's like they kind of realized, to their credit, that you can only really have one unit doing, like, this heavy interference stuff at a time. Otherwise, like, imagine if all three of them were doing it, you know? So, like, they had to cut it out with the other two. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's just like... I don't know. It does feel more egregious when Suzuki-gun does it. And, like, you know, I don't know how to describe why that is. But do you have any theories? Because do you agree with my hypothesis that it feels more egregious from Suzuki-gun?
I mean,
it's weird. More unenjoyable? I don't know how to say it.
I know. It's weird because I like the individuals. I like Suzuki. I like Sabre. I like Taka. Desperado. I like them. But it's like, as a group, as like, the way they operate, it's like, I don't want to see them. I don't want to see these guys together. It's like, it's annoying as all hell. I mean, the matches are going to suffer, of course, because of it. But yeah, maybe it's just like the fact that they're full heels. Like Bullet Club, there's like a cheekiness to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like a wink and a smile. Like, there's like little hints of babyfaced him with Kenny and stuff like that. But with Suzuki-Gun, it's like they're just full-on bad guys.
They're not likable, you know?
They're not likable.
And I guess you could be like, oh, well, they're heels. But like, yeah, fine. But like, it's just, it doesn't work in New Japan. I mean, interference in New Japan to begin with is already a tenuous concept. So if you're not going to like wink and nod about it like Bullet Club and LIJ did, if you're just really going to be flat out just like fucking assholes about it, basically, I think that might be a reason why it just doesn't work nearly as well.
You can be assholes without interference easily. You can cheat on your own without interference.
It doesn't have to be in every fucking match. Every fucking – if it was on like – look, it already happened in like three matches on the show, okay? Like the – it was okay in Tai Chi in the junior tag title match. And, like, if you kept it to that, it probably wouldn't have felt as egregious. It's just every fucking match they're in.
Overkill.
Just, ugh.
Anything that's overkill, anything that's going on too much, it's overkill. It could be the biggest thing in the world. It's overkill.
Yeah.
If it's too much, it's too much. Too many, you know, Okada singles matches loses the flavor. Yeah. You know, too many matches of – too many ladder matches loses the flavor of anything. Could be great, could be shit.
Yeah.
Overkill is overkill.
I agree. I'm just really, ugh. I don't know. So yeah, so that was, it left a bad taste in my mouth at the end of that show, but I would still call it the strongest show of the three, which again, isn't saying much for this tour.
The junior tag match saves it.
Yeah.
The junior heavyweight match was good. It kind of saves it as well.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. It could have been worse.
It could have been worse. It could have been Fukushima. The last show, Destruction in Kobe, on September 24th from Kobe World Keenan Hall. So this was an okay show. I put it between the other two, I guess. The first match I guess worth talking about is we finally got the big Beretta and Yujiro Takahashi singles match.
Mm-hmm.
Some juice on the undercard. It's always good. Yep. Not Juice Robinson, just some juice.
He's later on.
But... yeah, he's later on. And, I mean, they thought they, you know, Beretta, one of Beretta's strengths is obviously his selling.
Yeah.
I think Yujiro got just hitting him with every move after move after move and letting Beretta sell his ass off. That was always the way to do this, I think. So they laid this match out really well. Our reviewer gave it 3.5, and I would agree with that. It was a very good match.
It was. It was a good intro for Beretta for this division. Have him really prove himself to be worthy. Not just back and forth. Like, he kicked out of Miami Shine and the Tokyo Pimps. He kicked out of two Yujiro finishers, which is kind of a big deal. I mean, it's Yujiro, but still, you know, Tokyo Pimps. That's like the burning hammer of Yujiro finishers, you know. You don't really see a lot of people kicking. You don't see a lot of people kicking out of that one. So, but yeah, this was again the typical Beretta: create, sell, do some cool bumps, overcome the odds. You know, it was good. Plus, hey, new music for Beretta.
It didn't. Cool, yeah, you're the music guy. You tell us if you liked it. I didn't really make much of an impression on me.
It's hip hop and. I always, to get a real good, you know, critique of it, I need to hear like a studio version. Yeah. So I can't really give a final analysis yet. But from what I've heard, it's fine.
Yeah, it's, to me, it was a song, basically. Is how I didn't think it was bad or anything.
It may grow on me. I need to hear it again and again and again. So, but yeah, good match. Good intro for Beretta there for the heavyweight division.
So then we had the final. The third of four, as it turned
out, the quote unquote final.
What we thought was the final of the IWGP Tag Team Title match this time with Tornado Rules. Killer Elite Squad won the titles. I don't know. The reviewer gave it 3.75. I couldn't turn my brain back on to watch a third straight one of these. It's one of those matches where I was staring at my screen. I wasn't doing anything but watching the match and, like, I still wasn't really watching the match. Like, I just could not pay attention to it long enough to like.
I'll give props to Davey Boy for taking that that nasty bump to the table and getting that gash on his back. That's always a rough one to see guys get gashes on their back.
Yeah, it's gonna like he can't even lay down on it.
Yeah,
so now it's gonna be tough.
It's like exactly. Yeah. But then again, Davey Boy also all three nights wearing jeans in the ring, which harkens back to his dad in 99 WWF.
What a run!
Which was the drizzling just sad. It was just a sad
Where's
run.
Where's my title shot?
Where's my call that a title shot?
I can't do a British accent.
I don't care.
You know, that was not bad. I would give that a solid 6 out of 10.
The dog poop. Good. The dog poop. Rock bomb into the dog poop. The dog.
But, so fucking terrible.
And it's
like, why would you? Someone need to pull him aside and say like,
Davey Boy, you have tights.
So if you're trying to go for a throwback, you should pick a throwback to when your dad was good. Like, what people want to remember him by, not this, like, 4 months.
Union Jack tights. Fest.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a match.
Killer Elite's new champs again.
And who's the first defense against everybody? The same two fucking teams again!
John, listen, John. It's going to blow your mind here. Not one, but there's going to be two challengers for the belts in the same match. Team number one, former champs, War Machine. Team number two, Guerrillas of Destiny. Like the cleaning of a house, it never ends.
Yeah, it's true. It's just really... like, are we ever going to get, like... Like, they have to move on to King of Pro Wrestling, right? It can't be the same fucking match of Power Struggle again, right?
Gato would have balls the size of grapefruits to say, you know what?
Power Struggle! Do it again! Three-way! Get your tickets now!
It's like, like Lance and like Tama is like, Gato, can we just do like a two-on-two match? No, goddammit! Three-way! I've got the pencil. You do what I say.
After that, we had Tanahashi and Michael Elgin beating Finlay and Ibushi. A last-minute match added because, as we failed to mention, at the end of the Hiroshima show, Ibushi came out to challenge Tanahashi. Oh, no, Tanahashi challenged Ibushi. Right, because Tanahashi...
Oh, that's right, he called him out.
Yeah, Tanahashi's like, okay, well, I beat one of the people. There's three people that beat Tanahashi in the G1, everybody. There is Tetsuya Naito, who I don't think gives a single shit about the IWGP Intercontinental Championship.
He's got bigger things in his mind.
He's got bigger things in his mind than a belt he actively hates.
Yes.
And
a belt he literally destroyed.
Destroyed, tried to
apart.
Took it to a convenience store and tried to pay for his fucking beer with it, whatever the fuck he's trying to buy. That was the greatest thing of all time. It was like Naito tried to pay for it.
It was like a CM Punk putting the WWE belt in his refrigerator when he went out for a few weeks.
Nitro and Punk, it's a good comparison. They have like a similar vibe to them.
Yeah.
Which sounds like to some people it's gonna be an enormous insult to Tetsuya Naito, but anyone who knows that he's my favorite wrestler in the world. So it's not meant as an insult. Nitro not gonna be their contest challenger. Zack Sabre
just beat him. Yep, just beat Sabre.
It's Pete Saber, so then he calls out Ibushi. Logical.
Yeah.
Good logical booking.
Avenge the loss. Get your honor back, etc., etc.
So
standard wrestling stuff. We all know and love it. Yep.
So that match is going to take place. It probably they haven't announced it yet for Power Struggle, but I think it's pretty
most likely safe to
assume. Yeah. There's not going to be a King of Pro Wrestling, and Power Struggle usually has their kind of title.
It usually has like one big match to like get the people in, because we know it's not going to be the world title. Because usually it's King of Pro Wrestling and then a few months off, then Wrestle Kingdom. And in between then is like, give the secondary belt a defense just to tide the people over. So it's going to be Power Struggle, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, and that is as big of an Intercontinental match as you can do.
That's a big one.
Yeah. That would probably sell the building out. So good choice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's why we got this tag match added. This was totally fine. Obviously, Finley was going to get pinned. Good match.
Good match. Yeah, Elgin. Good to see him get his strength back. Definitely, especially as the past couple of days. But yeah, always nice to see all four guys really work well together and put on a good show. So good stuff. Yeah.
There was a 6-man tag match with the with Romero, Ishii, and Toriano against Bushi, Sonata, and Naito. Don't have a ton to say about that one either. Just kind of continued hyping up Ishii and Naito, which we'll talk about in a second when we preview.
The sight of Ishii jaw-jacking in the corner with Naito. Like he's got Naito with a shirt collar. It's like, you son of a bitch. From behind, Bushi starts clubbing on Ishii's back. Like, bah, bah, bah. Ishii, it's like a fly is on him. He doesn't even notice at first. And he looks back, it's like, what the fuck is this guy doing? It's like, I love Ishii so much. And to see him just like nonchalantly like swat Bushi away with like a forearm or whatever, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Can I give you a Japanese lesson, Andrew? Is that okay?
Go ahead.
Ishii. You have to do two E's at the end. It's like each she is one syllable.
Oh,
E is a syllable. She is a syllable. E is a syllable. I forget to do it too sometimes, but it's Ishii. Like you have to hold it. There you go. There's your Japanese lesson for the day.
There we go.
Andrew is not the only one who does that, by the way. Like I'd say
everyone does it.
Everyone does it. But like in Japanese, the she is a syllable, and then the extra E is another syllable. So that's just how it works. Mm-hmm. It means he's stone, by the way. Like that's
I know I read that somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so like cool. The kanji is stone, so that's why he's stone pitbull. But yeah, I mean, I did not know that until I really started. Until I really started studying Japanese, I was like, oh my God, this is why he's stone pitbull. Everything makes sense now.
Yeah.
But yeah. The next match was Okada and Will Ospreay against Evil and Hiromu Takahashi. Again, you know, the same thing that goes for the other, the Naito tag like this. It's like, it has a ceiling. It's, you know, our reviewer gave it 3.5. It's about what I would give it. It's, you know, it's just not going to be an all-time classic, but it was a good match.
Fun interactions, more build up really. And just, you know, seeing Will Ospreay do his little, you know, shooting star off the apron, the little matrix dodges he does. It's always fun to see that. So plus Okada finally like getting a one up on Evil with the Evil counter into the Rainmaker.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. And then afterwards, Okada cut a promo on Evil. He was like, "Hey, Evil, like, you know, I guess not material yet, you know." So, kind of like teasing him a bit, like, you know, it's like the heelish tendencies, but
So Okada coming in from behind and giving him the Rainmaker was cool, and it's like, that's like a very, oh God, what was I going to say? Like, basically, like Evil gotten the better of him on every show up to this point.
Yeah.
So for Okada finally get a little bit of a payback on him,
he hit a wallop of a Rainmaker on him. The sound that thing makes.
He was like, "Motherfucker, I've been waiting to hit this on you forever." He's like, "Now since I took this long to hit this on you, you get like triple the Rainmaker."
Yeah,
but yeah, Ospreay pinning Hiromu made complete sense because Ospreay now gets the next junior title shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's totally fine. Logical, good match. Nothing to complain about there.
Yep.
So Okada basically said, "Okada, I just want to read his promo because it was very the translation of his promo was very simple.
Okay.
Hey, Evil, you said you know how to beat the Superman. You must be dreaming. October 9th in the Ugoku, I will teach you what it takes to win the IWGP title. Be ready for it." That's a very
short, sweet, to the point. Yeah. That's all you need.
But yeah, that's basically it. And then the main event for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship, Kenny Omega defeating Juice Robinson. I think I'm going to be the low man on this. I gave it like 3.75. It was a good match. I just never thought it clicked at like a 4-star-plus level for me. And it's just like the early part was just so boring. And, you know, by the time we got to juice hitting Pulp Fiction and stuff, I was not spoiled going into this, but it never for a second thought, like, felt like Juice is going to win the match to me. I don't know. Did you watch this unspoiled or no?
I did. I watched it live. I got up from work at like 5 in the morning. I watched it at the end of work and I got home. I finished the show. So I watched it unspoiled. And you know, Kenny's going to win, clearly. But it's like it's 6 a.m. and you're so tired. And like they put on, I'll be the high man here in the match. I really liked it a lot. So, you know, Juice isn't going to win, but seeing him like first, you'll lose the crowd at first because they were booing him for going after Kenny's knee. And then slowly but surely, like getting the crowd back on his side, I think was really, really cool. So to see him like put up the valiant effort that we know, you know, Juice does, he puts up the effort. And in the end, he just can't win in the end. So it's a really great match. Yeah. So I'll be the high man on it for you. But Kenny was going to win. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion there.
Yeah. So, you know, good match. I just wasn't as into it as some other people were. And, you know, that's been the case for me with a lot of Kenny matches this year. And, you know, I don't know. I've talked about my Kenny critiques before. He feels like he's a video game wrestler to me a lot of the time. And there's something that doesn't click on the level that it clearly clicks on for Dave Meltzer and all sorts of other people. So, you know, maybe I'm just a weirdo.
That's fair. That's fine. It's fun. Your opinion.
I don't like superhero movies either, which everybody else likes. So.
I will say two things before we move on here. Number one, the video package for this match really got to me. Like I love great video packages that tell a story. And the story here was like the first half of the story is like Kenny Omega is like, he's the man. He wins the US title in the G1 special in the US. He's like Kenny Omega, I am the best. You do not bet the house against Kenny Omega. Like showing me like this big moment for Kenny. And then it shows the clip of Juice beating Kenny in the G1. And then it turns where it's like Juice Robinson. It's like, listen, I haven't won any title matches this year. I know I'm a one-legged guy coming to an asking contest here, but I know I can win. I know I have the heart to win. And that was a cool story. I thought it really pumped me up for the match at hand. The story of Kenny being this super uber wrestler, the top of the line wrestler, and Juice being like the heart and honor guy. Where it's like you want to see this guy win so much, even though we've seen time and time again, he lost to Goto, he lost to Naito, and now he's wrestling Kenny. Chances are he's probably going to lose here because it's the big title match. You've seen him fail before there, but just it really got to me. It's really emotional. It gets to me. That's what a good video package can do.
He's gonna lose. He's on a mission to lose for every title this year. So
yeah,
just needs Okada to give him that heavyweight title shot, and he'll be all set. But yeah,
second.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say just the ending, which was the super one winged angel up
okay,
the second
so did,
rope.
Did you not feel like that felt a little unearned for Juice Robinson?
It felt. It was cool to see as fuck. It was cool as fuck to see that. Admittedly, it's a cool ass move. It felt weird that it was going to be used here, though. You're right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if you're going to do that, it should have been the move to beat Okada or something.
Yeah.
Why are we using this to beat Juice Robinson? God bless Juice Robinson. I like Juice Robinson. It shouldn't have been the move to beat Juice Robinson.
Yeah, it was a little strange to see it there, especially since he hadn't hit the one-winged angel at all earlier in the match. Like if this was like Kenny hits the one-winged angel, Juice kicks out, which wouldn't have happened, so let's be honest. But if it happened, okay, super one-winged angel, fine, I guess. But it being the only one of the match that Omega was able to hit, then it's kind of in a weird place there.
Yeah.
Cool gift, though. I mean, but it kind of in a weird space there, yeah.
Really. Yeah, it's like just I don't know, just save that fucking move. Save it to beat Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom, like, I don't know. It just maybe Okada won't do it. maybe Okada Okada just didn't want to take it. Maybe that I think could be a theory where Kenny came up with it originally.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Like for his to beat finally beat Okada. Okada was like,
yeah. let's
you know,
listen, buddy. Yeah. I took that dragon suplex off the top rope for you. All right. I already punched the card. All right. No more free refills for after that one. So, yeah, maybe that's a theory. I don't know, but
Okada's that's a guess. Okada has taken some crazy shit, but like, just it feels like just being so random. Like it wouldn't surprise me at all if that was what happened.
Yeah.
But, you know. All right. So that's the last destruction show. Again, I put that right between the other two. Overall, crappy tour. Thumbs down. Not a fan.
Yeah. B show tour. You go in expecting a low ceiling, and you kind of get a low ceiling there. That's what you kind of hit there.
Okay, so like it's like they played they were playing limbo.
They're playing limbo. Yeah.
They brought a little person to go under this tiny tiny bar, and they lowered the bar so much, and the little person couldn't get past it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's basically how, not to make fun of the little people, but basically what New Japan did here. Not a good. Expected nothing and got less. It's basically
not their finest hour.
Destruction 27.
Their finest hour, certainly. But
so moving on though to a show that looks much better on paper.
Absolutely.
King of Pro Wrestling, Monday, October 9th, about a week and a half away, live on New Japan World, of course. Let's go through this card because it's a pretty stacked card. I call this a good card. We begin with a opener: Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro Takahashi, and Leo Tonga. Apparently he'll just be sticking around here.
Yeah.
Taking on Sonata, Bushi, and Hiromu. That's not a bad opener. As far as openers go, you could do a lot worse, I think.
Yeah, kind of weird seeing Leo here because he was kind of, for Destruction, he was used as like the fill-in guy.
For Kenny. Yeah, we didn't talk much about it, but Kenny had the
surgery. He needed to take as much time as he could. It's kind of weird to see him back, though, because I would have assumed that Chase Owens would have gotten that spot because he's usually the guy. It's like, we need another guy. Get Chase Owens, you know, or Hangman Page or whomever. Yeah. But, it's kind of weird to see Leo here. Also, further down goes Hiromu. I mean, opening six-man tag match for Hiromu. Meanwhile, like a couple months ago, he was like the semi-main for like Dominion.
Yeah.
So
I said my piece about this already.
We've said our piece about it. It sucks big time. It
fucking sucks.
Maybe it builds up more of the Bushi Hiromu Jr. tag team. Maybe
they have that mashup theme song.
I noticed that too. Yeah, because it's like, okay, Leo is gonna take the pin here, obviously, because he's the youngest guy in the match. So maybe, I don't know, they do a little like Sonata gets him, maybe Bushi and Hiromu team would take him out. Who knows? But Hiromu is down the card. Furthermore here, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens later on with the junior heavyweight match after that, the aftermath of that. So
yeah,
maybe I'll come back at later on for that, but who knows?
So that's the six man. Like you said, LIJ is probably going to win.
Yep.
Because Leo Tonga is there to keep the fall. Match two, Hiroki Goto and Toru Yano against Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. May I first say, what the fuck for Hiroki Goto? Like,
yeah,
you know, here we go. He like the entire Destruction tour. He had nothing to do. We didn't mention once. We mentioned him. Well, you mentioned him to make fun make fun of how he loses all the time in title matches. But like, here's a guy who used to be solid upper mid card. He's working he's like basically jerking the curtain on every single show now. It's really ridiculous. So I don't know. It feels like this is a turning point for him. Even in the past, where he might not have been like the highest stature. It feels like this is the natural conclusion to this chaos run where he's just been like so damaged.
He's just chaos henchman number two here. It's like, it's really weird for Goto because
everybody said was going to happen.
Yeah. And maybe he turns and goes solo again. Maybe, who knows? But it's like, man, these stables, it's like they keep adding people and adding people. You don't see a lot of like people leaving the stables.
Yeah, that's true.
So who knows what's going to happen with Goto here?
But I mean, we heard rumors about Suzuki and Sabre, which I shouldn't really repeat, but something could happen there. Match three, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match for Yusuke Taguchi and Ricochet defending against X and X.
Yes.
That whether it be the new Roppongi 3K.
Which
Komatsu?
Maybe. I mean, I know Rock of the choices, they're high on the list, certainly. Because they're a junior team, but
yeah, like I don't know who the fuck else are you gonna bring in? Are you gonna bring in the troll boys from Evolve?
That'd be fun, but it's like
their theme song. Okay, you guys need to do an episode just on the troll boys.
Okay.
Have you heard that theme song?
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, ACH somehow made you to do the exact same noise that real guy is doing in that.
Yeah, bad that boys. Fucking, the cops theme. Bad boys, bad boys.
he does that for the entire song. It was really good. So shout out to the Troll Boys, who the Everything Evolves podcast and the Voice Wrestling Podcasting Network, big fans of the Troll Boys. Fun fact.
Sure. We'll go with that. Let's go with that one. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's just say it's going to be the Troll Boys. There you go.
There's our prediction. The Troll Boys are going to
come out. They're going to come after that song. And I'll show you, you're going to hear bad boys, bad boys. But yeah, this is a match. And it's hard for you to predict not knowing who the challengers are going to be. So yeah, we'll see. Do you have any serious predictions on who it could be other than
it's so tough because it's like, is there anyone really that would make sense? Because
I don't know any American indie teams that well. I don't watch a lot of American.
Ring of Honor is the connection, but it's like, would they be over? Like,
well, they brought in guys outside of Ring of Honor before that. Like, they bring
that's
in,
true. That's true. But it's like the logical choice is like, okay, Ring of Honor first, and then we'll see what else is there.
Yeah.
But it's like, which team is out there that's like they're gonna? What team is like Gato gonna say, okay, these guys are going to be going in there with the tag champs, two popular guys, the tag champs. So it's
maybe
like,
when.
What's that?
I said it maybe when.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, so it's like it's kind of a up in the air. It's kind of a big bet there, but Sho and Yohei, it's like they're kind of like the logical choice. But until we know who it is, until we see them come out, it's shrug.
Yeah,
it's a Yano shrug.
Up next, we have the IWGP Tag Team Titles, folks. I know you think it's the same match, but did you know this time Malibu Stacy has a new hat? It's an elimination match, okay? So come on,
remember elimination. Remember, like, was it like last year when it was going to be like, I think it was like Dominion maybe, where it was like Red Dragon, Roppongi Vice, and Ricochet Seidel for the eighth time in a row, and it was like elimination match rules, and people were complaining, and I think like Matt Jackson was like, guys, it's a different match, it's elimination rules now. Listen, it's a different match, because now it's a whole new stipulation.
Thumbs down.
But yeah. Ugh, God, that's the noise.
My prediction, I'm gonna do the same thing I do for the thing. Ready? Siri, roll a die. Okay, Siri rolled one, so that means the KES are gonna retain. There you go.
Can we do doy darts?
Match five, the Yoshihashi, Beretta, and Jado against Kenny Omega, Cody, and Marty Scurll. As you can tell, I'm always very excited to see Cody.
American Nightmare. There's only wrestling has more than one royal family. Dun 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 dun.
What is he even referring to?
You know, everyone thinks of like the Harts or the Von Erichs or whoever.
So if there's everybody, also, if everybody, also, wait a second. If everybody already thinks of multiple royal families, then what is the point of saying wrestling has more than one royal family? We just established that people immediately think
of
other families.
I don't fucking know. I'm just trying to fucking guess here?
Okay, I'm not taking issue.
I'm not taking issue
with your guess. I'm taking issue with their logic. I've never understood what that was supposed to mean.
I'm trying to make sense of it.
So yeah, Cody, Ring of Honor World Champion.
Yep.
Proves you can go real far in 2.25.
Yep.
If I think of Cody. He's here to stink up another Sumo Hall show, just like I had to fucking deal with him at the show I was at. Well, all three of them I think he was on. I don't even remember, which should tell you how much of an impression he fucking left. I think he was on all three.
He was on all three. Yeah, because he had the tag title match.
He had the tag title match, which, yeah, it was whatever. But yeah, Yoshihashi, this is probably the biggest sinker on the show, but at least it has a purpose because we're building up Yoshihashi and Kenny Omega for the U.S. title at, I guess, at Ring of Honor now.
And maybe, I thought this earlier, maybe Cody Beretta somewhere down the line, for the Ring of Honor world title, maybe Wrestle Kingdom.
Maybe.
I could see that happening, perhaps. They do those one a year, the past couple of years. So maybe build those up.
Beretta probably be a better champion at this point.
Probably. A lot more exciting.
Cody, I mean, to be fair, I guess Cody does draw, which everybody keeps reminding me. It's like for as much as everybody hates Ring of Honor, they draw.
And the character work is good too. The matches. But
I mean, I was there. Like it almost makes me want to cry because I was there for like the glory days where they were drawing 600 fans, and now they put out this bullshit and they can draw like 2,000. Yeah. I just
it's a stopover defense in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's like they'll put on a good match. Kenny will get, American fans will see Kenny in a singles match. You know, Yoshihashi will put up a good fight. It'll be fine. Okay.
So Hiroshi Tanahashi and Togi Makabe against Kota Ibushi and Juice Robinson. Match 6 here. Obviously continuing to build up Tanahashi and Ibushi. This should be fine. It's not one of the big matches on the show, but we'll continue to build up that Tanahashi Ibushi match. I assume probably either Tanahashi or Makabe are going to pin Juice, and the world will keep on spinning.
Yep, Makabe will keep on these tag matches.
Yep. I mean, this is the highest of the card he's been in a long time.
I know. It's just the tag title matches early in the year with Hanma, but
yeah. Then we hit the big three here, the big three singles matches. First of all, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Title match, Kushida and Will Ospreay. I fail to see why they won't have another really good match. They had a really good match in the Best of Super Junior final this year. They had two really good matches in 2016 with the junior title. So that's not even a question to me. It'll be another really good match. The question is this the time when Will Ospreay finally wins the junior title? Here's why I think he will. They did not do that Ospreay Hiromu match building up to this, you know?
That's what I meant earlier when I said saving it for later.
I think Ospreay is going to win here, and then he's going to have to defend against Hiromu and probably lose to Hiromu pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't win again, it's like, it's same as Hiromu.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? You have this guy who can be like a big deal, and he is a big deal, like all over the world. Like America, Britain, now Australia. Like he can be one of your top junior guys for the next few years, maybe even longer. But it's like you have to pull the trigger on him eventually. And with Kushida already beating him 3 times now in New Japan, and a fourth time, although this not really can, but a fourth time early in the year in the What Culture Pro Wrestling World Cup, Kushida beat Ospreay in the finals of that. So it's like, Ospreay needs to beat him. Like he needs to defeat him. And that was sort of like kind of like maybe hinting at with the promo that Ospreay cut early in Destruction, where it's like Ospreay was like, yes, you keep beating me, but you'll never defeat me. Like I'll keep coming back and trying my best to beat you. So it's like I feel like a speech like that, it's like, okay, finally Ospreay will finally beat Kushida, hopefully. Plus it's King of Pro Wrestling. And it's a big show. It's one of the four big shows of New Japan's year, annually. So I imagine a title change is not out of the question at all. So, hopefully Ospreay wins. most likely will. And then afterwards, Hiromu comes out, and then him and Oscar have a match. Maybe at Power Struggle.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, you could save it till the Dome.
You could yeah. do that.
I don't know if I would. Because then what do you do for the... Well, I'm talking myself into it, actually. Because then you'd have to do Kushida, Hiromu, with the Dome else. Again. Well, who though? I mean, like, who else is there?
Who else is there? Kushida, exactly. Yeah, I mean...
So I wouldn't... I don't know. I think maybe... So have Ospreay win. Maybe do something at Power Struggle. You could do Ospreay Desperado. You could do any of the juniors in Suzuki Goon. And then do Ospreay Hiromu at Tokyo Dome.
At the Dome, yeah.
Yeah. So that could be good. We'll see how that's how it plays out.
And it should be, like you said, an excellent match. Because these two have amazing chemistry together.
Like, the top three matches of the show really should deliver. I mean,
these are excellent matches.
Three strong singles matches, including the next one, the match for the right to challenge for the IWGP Heavyweight title at the Tokyo Dome. Tetsuya Naito defending against Tomohiro Ishii. So first of all, about defending the contract in general, I don't know how I feel about it because so going into this year's G1, you know, there were a lot of people predicting that maybe Naito wouldn't win the G1, but he would win the contract later. And I kind of like that idea just because at least you would establish the idea that this fucking contract can actually change hands.
Yeah, put some stakes up there, yeah.
But like right now it feels like those stakes don't exist because we've never seen the contract change hands of the Dome. I mean, I talked about this in the preview to the Last Destruction show, but if you look back on the history of who this contract has been defended for, okay? So like, let's look at this. The first year was defended, Okada defended against Carl Anderson. God bless Carl Anderson. He was a little bit of a bigger deal at the time because he had just been in the final with Okada. So that's fine. But still, you didn't feel like you had any chance. The next year, 2013, Naito defended against Yujiro Takahashi, which even at the fucking time, Yujiro was a little higher than he is now. You still never, even for a second, thought Yujiro was going to win that match.
Even with the whole Naito Yujiro feud, with like the whole no limit backstory, it's like there's no way Naito's losing to this geek.
And then the next year, Naito challenged Okada at basically his lowest point as a babyface, and Naito was the geek that had no chance to win.
Yeah.
To beat Okada. Everybody knew we were getting Okada Tanahashi the Dome. The following year, Tanahashi Naito, you know, that was, I think, the only interesting one. Everybody knew Tanahashi was going to win, but this was like right at the start of LIJ Naito. And, you know, it was really an interesting match just because everything Naito was doing at the time was interesting, and then Evil debuted that night and everything. So that to me is the one that really stands out as interesting, even though I still didn't really think Naito had a chance to win. Last year, Omega and Hiroki Goto, again, God bless Hiroki Goto. No one gave him a prayer in that. Mm-hmm. This year, so saying all that, this year, Tomohiro Ishii, does he have a chance in hell winning this match? No, he does not.
No.
And, no, you know, I'm not saying...
But you know what? That's okay, though. Because it's Ishii.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I really would have liked it better if, you know, imagine everything playing out with like Omega winning that final, you know, and then we do Omega Naito here again and Naito wins the contract. That would have been a way bigger deal. And maybe their whole thing is we don't need to do that, which, you know, fine, you don't. But like, I don't know. It would have been nice to see.
It would have been different.
Yeah. It would have been something different. It would have made it for the rest of the year. Like, if they're going to keep doing this every year, one year they have to do it. They have to have the fucking contract change hands for the Dome. We're in year five now of this, and like or year six, actually. We need to do this at some point.
And then also, thinking about that, it would have really spiced up the whole, like, Kenny Naito feud as well.
Yeah. I mean,
like, Kenny Naito, they have never really interacted outside of the G1 before. But you do the switch, and it's like Naito wins the Dome against Okada. Now all of a sudden, Kenny's like, this motherfucker took my briefcase, my contendership. That's supposed to be me. And now I'm stuck with this U.S. title belt, which is fine, but it's not the world belt. That's not the main one. It's like, oh, I hate this guy so much, so you want to build the feud anymore, which would have been cool, but –
Yeah. We had machines. And I mean, it's just okay. To be clear, this is going to be a fantastic match.
Exactly, it's Ishii. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really good.
You're going to like. You're going to like root for Ishii so hard to win this thing.
I mean, not even just as Ishii, but this is like his best opponent too.
Yeah.
I mean, like they always have really. They're four. Like the worst match I've ever seen them have was like 4.25.
They had two amazing matches early in the year.
Yeah, like these are two really good wrestlers, and they have amazing chemistry together. Yeah. So. I mean, it's not that I'm not excited for this match, but I want to throw that out there as an alternate, an alternate way they could have done it. Alternate timeline, yeah. But like, still, this is still going to be a really good match, really good semi-main.
Yeah.
Obviously, Naito's going to win, but it's still a very, very good semi-main event here.
Mm-hmm.
Main event of the evening, IWGP Heavyweight title, Kazuchika Okada and Evil. First of all, as much as we were slagging on Gato earlier, have to give him props for having the balls to main event Sumo Hall with Evil. You know, like we're really like trusting him here to draw a crowd here. I don't know if it's going to sell out or not. Last year, I wasn't sure that Marufuji is going to sell out, and that sold out. But Marufuji obviously has a name in Japan, and you know he drew better for New Japan than he ever did for Noah in the past few years, which was interesting. But I don't know. It just wasn't. It wasn't going to. We'll see if it works or not. But if this does not sell out, if this does like 8,500 or something, I don't necessarily view that as a failure, because you still elevated a new guy into a main event of a major, major show here, and you gave him this rub for months after the G1, and you like, you know, you made him look like a star. And you know, at some point you have to make some new stars, you know, you can't just have the same people over and over again. So I think they did a good job here. This feud's been really good, and I'm excited to see this match. I love Evil, which out of context is not a good statement to make, but I love Evil, and you know, obviously I don't think he has any chance here either, but I'm expecting a really, really good match.
2 years ago, Watanabe shows up again in New Japan after his excursion, helps Naito. Okay, fine, cool. What does Naito call him? I dub the King of Darkness, Evil.
Do you remember what Naito said, by the way, in the press conference afterwards?
What, I forget now.
He was like, I finally have someone to speak Spanish with. Watanabe does not speak Spanish, as far as I know. It was just really, it was just really funny.
But anyway, I mean, anyway, his name is Evil, and his finishing move is called Evil. And he comes out looking like Skeletor, like a Party City Skeletor, the mask and the scythe and the upside down cross and the laser fingers. This is the guy that's going to be the number one contendership for the world title in 2 years' time. Yes. And you know what? It's fucking great, because Evil is awesome. Like this past G1 really, I think, built up his stock a lot. Him beating Okada, beating Suzuki, you know, getting those big wins over them, you know, really elevated his stock, I think, a lot. And man, it's so funny, because it's like, it's Evil. Like his name is Evil, and he's like a number contender for the title. I keep saying it over and over again, but it's so funny. You know, it really speaks to perception and how important perception is for a pro wrestler. You can look like, you know, a goofball with the laser fingers and the skull mask, but if you're a hoss motherfucker who puts the bodies down and gets the 1-2-3 and puts on kick-ass matches like Evil did in the G1, people are going to love you. People are going to watch you and pay attention to you. And that's what Evil did. That's what Evil's doing. The match against Okada is going to be great. It's going to have a lot of heat to it. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be Okada winning, obviously, because it's going to be Okada Night to the Dome. Okada beating Evil is sort of like a nice little, you know, stepping stone to Naito, of course, as him being the number one contender. But still, no matter the outcome, it's going to be a great match, I think.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a really good match. Evil, his evolution to get here in these 2 years has been really cool, because the first 6 months, you could tell he had no idea what to do. I mean, he just had no comfort at all with that
game. He was a henchman. He was just a henchman.
Yeah, he just was. But like once he got really comfortable, I don't remember. Did was he Was he shouting that everything is evil catchphrase right away? I feel like it took a little bit.
You know, I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, someone could correct me if I'm wrong. If he was shouting it right away, it never clicked until later on.
I think he might have been.
But like once he added that flourish to it this year, when he says it in Japanese again,
oh, yeah.
Okay, everything is evil. Stupid Evil.
Also, like that welcome to the darkness world.
Yes, like that adding that too. And then that one announcer who yells it every time. I think you were the one who's pointed this out. Like
when he hits the evil STO and he gets like he gets the 1-2-3, one of the announcers on New Japan was like, Everything.
It's a great call. So that's the kind of little thing that really like where people act like announcers aren't important, like where is anybody doing that in WWE for anybody?
Yeah.
Like where, like if like nobody in WWE has that kind of like it, you know. Instead, we go, oh, the Roman Empire,
the monster among men takes on the beast incarnate. The big dog is coming to reclaim his yard.
It's like everything they say sounds like they're in a fucking video game. But this guy just yelling the same word over and over again, it just works. And that's the kind of thing. It's like, you know, it's obviously not on the same level, but that's like, you know, Stone Cold. Like, you know, something like very
there's
simple.
There's emotion to it. There's like a simplicity in the emotion to it as well. Like it JR, like you said, JR going crazy. Stone Cold, the Austin era has been. It's like you connect to that more than like the big dog is coming. It's like that doesn't sound natural. Like Jim Ross.
It's his yard. The big dog's yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. WWE announcing fucking sucks is not a revelation, but
yeah, that's a whole other topic.
It made me think of it because like that everything call is so cool, and yeah. I really think it helped get evil over a little bit. And like, you know, when's the last time you ever said anything in WWE? It's like, oh yeah, the announcers helped get that guy over. So not for a long time. But yeah, so evil, he's cool, and
he's evil.
This match is going to be cool, and this card looks really cool. So
yeah, stacked card.
This is like our reward for getting through destruction.
Yes,
it's like you survived destruction. So
this is our
you
truffle.
Can have a treat.
This is our, like, our truffle in the pigsty.
Gato was patting our heads and giving us a lolly. You know.
Yeah. You made it to the dentist, kid. Here's a sucker for you.
Yeah, that's the good thing to do after the dentist too.
Yeah. Obviously.
But yeah, so that's King of Pro Wrestling. Obviously, we're much more positive about that than we were about Destruction. So we'll see. I mean, I really, like, there would have to be a meteor would have to strike the earth for this show not to be better than the Destruction show. Yeah. So, you know, there's not really a high bar. That's like we took the same bar the little person didn't even manage to get under, and we put it like way above his small little head.
This is Great Khali holding the bar up for Hornswoggle.
Yeah, basically.
That's what it is, pretty much.
But yeah, so that's King of Pro Wrestling. This is cool, and thanks for coming on again.
Thank you so much for having me back on the show. This is a blast as usual. And I just want to say beforehand, you and Joe Gagne, the things you said about our show, Music with a Mat, myself and Chris, that was really sweet of you guys to say. I really appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really nice of you to say all that kind of stuff. So thank you again for having me back on the show.
Yep.
Talking New Japan. When I'm back on, we'll do something completely different.
Yes.
We'll pinky swear on that. So 2004 WWE it is.
I'm trying to remember what the fuck is going on. You really want to talk about Eugene that bad?
Listen, Eugene, Maven, Dancing Lance Storm, the works. The works.
Oh, 2004 WWE.
Interesting time.
That's the kind of thing where it's like that. So like basically, you're the guy that was your childhood wrestling.
That was my childhood. That 2003, 2004 to like 2006 WWE.
Yeah,
and also a little bit also teeny as well. Like that was my wheelhouse. So I remember so much the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. So we'll do that. We haven't really done we've done some historical ones, but not on a specific time period like that. So that might be fun.
We'll pencil that in.
So in 2 weeks, we're gonna have on a couple of guests to talk the big Pro Wrestling Noah and Yokohama show, the wonderfully random card. Because it's actually the show takes place next Monday. It doesn't air until the following week, so we gotta wait a little bit to see it. But we're gonna have on returning from the very first episode, Mr. Connor Dunphy, And making his Wrestling Omakase debut from Eastern Lariat is going to be Mr. Dylan Harris. So two really cool guests, I think. That's coming up in a couple weeks. Next week, maybe Rich Craich, maybe somebody else. Who knows at this point?
Who knows?
But in the meantime, obviously follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase. Like I said, if you want to rate and review the podcast or on our individual iTunes feed, I would really appreciate it. It helps out a lot. Obviously, Andrew, do some plugs here. I know you got a Metallica episode.
Listen. My podcast is called Music of the Mat. I host it along with my good buddy Chris Maffei, the Score Lord. I am the Barbarian, of course. So we are the Power Chords of Pain. That is our little nickname we have for ourselves. And it is a wrestling music podcast. And the most recent episode was about SmackDown themes. And our next episode is all about the music of Metallica and its prevalence in wrestling, which is quite a bit, actually. So that's going to come out on October the 3rd. That's a Tuesday. Should be a lot of fun on that one. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich.
Don't follow me on Twitter. My Twitter fucking sucks.
Okay.
All I do is complain about American adaptations of anime.
Yeah,
and
that's a whole big thing.
Yeah.
Also, our podcast as well has its own iTunes feed. So listen to the show. If you like it, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. And just spread the word on about it, because doing the show is so much fun. Chris is an absolute wunderkind when it comes to audio production. He's the backbone of the show, absolutely. It was his idea to begin with. I am forever grateful for him for agreeing to do the podcast with me, bringing me on the show, bringing me along with him. He's the heart and soul of the show. So, take a listen on in. And it comes out every other week. So every other Tuesday. That should be a good time to have by all. So next episode is Metallica, folks. So
I just say I like the SmackDown episode a lot because it's like,
yeah, it's fun.
It's also like a TV show that I stopped watching in like 2006. So I was like, wow, these are what the fucking theme sound like after that.
Like there's a lot of this song. Was this
there, again? There were some themes, like basically all the themes that made it into a video game I could recognize. And then there were a bunch that just never made it into a game, I guess. And I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Well, a bunch of them lasted like 1 year. So they were in and out. Like a run-in. So like a Suzuki Gun run-in, they were in and out.
And obviously, as you, my friend I talked about at the start of the show never made it. He did actually make it for 2 seconds.
That'll be cut out and thrown on the floor.
So, sorry, buddy. Try again next time. But in the meantime, Andrew, you did make it, and I appreciate it.
Thank you again. This was an absolute blast to do. We're good buddies, John, and talking wrestling with you is so much fun to do because we're both very passionate about it, and that's the point of doing all this stuff is to be passionate about wrestling, talk about it with our friends, our colleagues, and this was great, man. I'll be sure to be back on again sometime in the future. We'll probably be back on our podcast as well sometime. It'll be a good time had by all. So thank you again.
Yeah, and thank you, Andrew. Thank you, listeners, and we will see you next week.